The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America. Streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
Welcome, everybody, to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews in with you today. It's Thursday, the 1st of September. I can't believe we moved into another month already, but we have done it. And here we are, coming to you with Golf Talk America, and so much to get into because we're on the cusp of the next tournament. Of course, coming up is the Deutsche Bank Championship. It starts on Friday, so don't get panicky if you turn on Golf Channel or one of the networks trying to see it. It's that unique time of the year, Labor Day coming up. So they go Friday through Monday, finish things up on Monday. So it'll all get started at the TPC in Boston in Norton, Massachusetts tomorrow morning. And certainly an awful lot at stake as everybody tries to move to the next round and get to the BMW Championship. So it's the top 100 guys that are competing in this tournament. And then they go to the BMW where only the top 70 will be playing. And that'll be in Crooked Stick Golf Course in Indiana, and then, of course, from there to the Tour Championship for just the top 30. And there won't be a cut at either one of those tournaments. So this is the last week that there will actually be a cut. And then it all concludes with the Ryder Cup, and bam, about a couple of weeks off, and we get started right back again. Fries.com will be right around the corner. So an awful lot of golf, and still a lot of recognition to be made as far as who's going to make the Ryder Cup team for the Americans. Who's going to be player of the year? Dustin Johnson seems to have an inside track, but we'll see how that all shakes out. So an awful lot of things coming up in the next couple of weeks here in the golf world. Steve Johnson with Hankini Golf will be joining us in just a little bit. He has one of his top players that he's working with, Sung Kang, who's a golfer you may not have heard an awful lot about from South Korea, did pretty well last week and at the Barclays, made his way into the Deutsche Bank Championship, and he's at number 88 now in the FedEx Cup playoffs. So he's going to have to do some work this week if he's going to keep playing. But Steve is keeping an eye on Sung, and Sung has had a pretty good year so far, right at $1 million, just a little bit under, like $15,000, under $1 million in earnings for Sung Kang. So Steve will talk not only about working with a young golfer and trying to get him through the playoffs and the intensity of everything, but also what he thinks and what he projects for the Tour Championship and certainly the Ryder Cup, because again, there are players to be named by Davis Love, the captain. We already have the qualifiers. The guys are automatically in, but the top, the other four guys, remember he gets four picks that Davis Love will get to pick from. And you got to wonder if it's going to be Bubba, if it's going to be Duffner, if he wants somebody like Ricky Fowler is trying to earn his way in there. Cooch, after what he did at the Olympics, still some questions about Brooks Koepka, maybe making his way into the Ryder Cup. Join us, as always, from studios in Nashville. Frank Bassett joins us. Frank, how are you doing this morning?
I say he picks Graham McDowell.
Somebody's got to take him, right? I mean, why not?
Well, he lives in Orlando. How was Graham McDowell dissed by the European team? Graham McDowell?
Well,
hello?
You know,
Russell
at some
Knox?
Point.
Hello?
At some point. Well,
hello?
Russell Knox is more understandable. Graham's had a rough year of up and down. He won. Where did he win? He won in Mexico. It was in the last year or so. He did win.
Mayakoba.
But very inconsistent. And he's getting older. And let's be honest, everybody in every sport is always looking for the young guys, aren't they? I mean, they're always looking for the young studs that can come on. And that even happened for the European team, the Ryder Cup European team. The captain's pick were Keimer, Westwood, and Thomas Peters, the automatic guys, some young guys in there. Andy Sullivan, Matthew Fitzpatrick, Rafa Cabrera-Bello, some young guys in there that have never played Ryder Cup before. Then, of course, you've got Danny Willett winning the Masters. He was not playing this week, chooses not to play at the Deutsche Bank. Of course, Rory's there, Henrik Stenson, Chris Wood, another younger golfer that we haven't seen an awful lot of, and another couple of veterans, Sergio and Justin Rose. Very good team for the Europeans, Frank. Yeah. I got to say that these guys are pretty good golfers.
Yeah. Peters is strong. I mean, Illinois boy.
Yeah.
Mike Small product. I mean, yeah, he's going to be strong. It's that European team, don't underestimate them. They're young, but they don't have the battle wounds that our team has, okay?
Yeah, the bad memories.
Oh, my Lord. I mean, you know that old picture when the drum and the fife and the bandaged and the flag and, you know, the old Revolutionary War picture, that's the way our team's going to look. They should march in like that because we are battle-tested and battle-wounded.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Hey, I've got to back up to something you said at the top of the show, DJ.
Sure.
Dustin Johnson. You know, he played 19 events, 2 wins this year, and 12 top 10s. It looks like, I mean, he should be player of the year. I mean, you said it. He's setting on it. I mean, I don't think any – Jason Day could come back and possibly steal that away with 3 wins, 10 top 10s. He wins one more time, but my vote's DJ.
I mean, yeah.
Poor,
yeah.
And with a penalty stroke, he won a major. So there.
Yeah. No, I mean, Dustin Johnson is definitely – I think right now Dustin Johnson is in the lead, if there would be a lead, a points or whatever for player of the year. You got to think of Jason Day. And we'll see what happens. Yeah. Because if you remember the Billy Horschel scenario, some guy can catch on fire. If somebody, let's be honest, Patrick Reed is right now on top of the FedEx Cup leaderboard. If Patrick Reed were to win 1 or 2 or 3 of the next tournament, then Patrick Reed's going to jump in there. Or the same could be said for Jordan Spieth or someone else if they were to win 2 of the next 3 tournaments or win the FedEx Cup playoff in the Tour Championship. So, you know what? I think it's as tight a race. In the past, you kind of had a good feeling no matter what happened. You kind of thought you knew who was going to win. Spieth last year and Jason Day in the past and Henrik Stenson a few. You kind of had a feeling the guys had great years and they were going to at least be top 10 in the next few tournaments. They were going to be the player of the year. Right now, it is an open race, but I think DJ probably has the inside track. So good for him. You know, it wasn't that long ago that DJ was not allowed to play and was suspended for a while, and things could have gone the opposite way, and instead he turned things around and has done wonderfully since that suspension, and good for him that he's back on track, playing well. He's got his personal life in line, and again, when you look at our Ryder Cup team and the automatic guys we're talking about with Dustin and Patrick Reed and Spieth, I feel pretty good about that team as well. The Europeans look strong, but boy, I'd like to have DJ be my playing partner. Wouldn't it be nice to just play his scramble ball every time? You're like, okay, let's just get in a cart and drive for about 3 hours and we'll get to his tee shot. So,
I'll take Tony Finau in my scramble. I'll take Finau, you take DJ, and we'll see who wins.
We'll see. Okay, we'll see. I'll take DJ.
Yeah, that'd
DJ
be good.
Is, and I, you know what? What I like about DJ too is, for a guy who hits it so hard, I mean, he hits it out there with Bubba. Bubba looks like he's hitting it a lot farther, and looks like he's swinging a lot harder. Dustin Johnson is so balanced, isn't he? When he swings, I know it's going 350 yards, but he looks like he's hitting a wedge shot when he's hitting his tee ball. He's so good. He's so athletic. That I think he's kind of they've woken a monster. You know, I think a lot of guys knew Dustin Johnson had this ability for the last several years for various reasons. It wasn't pulling it all together. I think a lot of these guys are like, oh my God, if that guy really gets it going, his ability is just his natural golf ability. Because even though probably more accomplished in the last few years, Jordan Spieth doesn't look. You don't look at his swing and just go, oh, it's flawless and it's effortless. And Jordan's works at his swing. It's going left. It's going right. He's got his elbow flying. I mean, whereas Dustin Johnson, I'm not kidding you, he hits a tee shot like he hits his 7-iron.
He has the torso of Michael Phelps, if you look at him.
He really does.
And that helps a lot with that swing. Hey, I've got to jump around here for a second. But and looking at some of the players that are competing, Kyle Reifers.
Yeah.
Do you know he played in 32 events in this wraparound season? 32 events?
Right?
He's got to be worn out.
Is that right?
I was looking at Patrick Reed with 25 events. You know, 25 events, 1 win, 10 top 10s. Dustin Johnson, 19 events, 2 wins, 12 top 10s.
Wow.
Jason Day, 17 events. So, but 32 events? Are you serious? I mean,
Corns,
calluses, bunions, and sore feet, baby. Good Lord.
Yeah, how do you get that many? How do you get that much golf in there?
I have no idea. I mean, good Lord. Anyway, it's interesting just to look at the FedEx Cup stats. And for our listeners, if you go out to PGATour.com, when you go to PGATour.com/podcasts to listen to Golf Talk America, also go to PGATour.com, look at the FedEx Cup standings, and pull down some of these stats. They're very, very interesting to look at of how many events these guys have played in. Wow.
Because most of the top guys, you're talking Spieth and Day and Rory and those guys, most of them played under 20. They're in the, usually in the 17, 18, 19 to 20, maybe 21.
Snedeker,
right.
Snedeker played in 24 events.
Yeah.
24 already.
I mean, you have that ability, which is a nice thing, isn't it? It's like if you look at your wife and you think you need a new Bentley or something because her birthday's coming up. you know what? I'm going to play this week. And maybe I'll win $600,000, you know? I mean, yeah.
It's a kind of a neat,
it's kind of a neat gig to have that you can choose when you feel like it to go work and possibly earn $100,000, you know, or take it off, whatever you want to do. So, yeah, it is all over the board from 30-something events, usually for the younger guys or in the high 20s to the guys in the teens. You remember back in the day when Tiger was playing, Tiger would be leading money winner, leading everything, and he'd have played in 15 events. And everybody else had played in 22 or 23. He already had twice as much money as those guys had.
Smoked them. Yeah, smoked them. Well, think about this. With these guys playing in that many events, also the corporate events, the Monday outings they usually have to play in, the corporate responsibilities they have,
sure.
The pro-ams that they have to play in, that's a lot of golf. I mean, we go on a guy trip for a week or 2 weeks, play golf every day, we come back and we're exhausted. So these guys are well-conditioned. You know, they're not like the old, give me a beer and let's go play golf. Like, I can't walk because there's no place to put the 12 pack. You know, so
as I said, we've got Steve Johnson calling in just a little bit. Matter of fact, momentarily, I'm sure Steve will be calling us. He's in between working and giving some lessons. He's the managing partner for Hank Haney Golf, and he also sits in quite often for Hank on his SiriusXM show, on Hank Haney's show. So Steve's getting a lot of experience doing the golf gig as well. So we'll be talking to him in just a minute. As he's, I think, just finishing up a lesson, and in between, he's going to run over and talk to us about what's going on in the tour, what he thinks about the Deutsche Bank as well. We were going to talk with Paul Stankowski, but Stanky's on a plane right now. He's heading to the Deutsche Bank. He'll be doing the coverage, so you listen to him over the weekend on SiriusXM. He'll be doing the work with Earl Forsey with the Deutsche Bank Championship. So make sure you listen to.
And we'll be
Paul
texting them in the middle of their. Play-by-play and messing with it like we usually do. That's
as much
fun.
As we can. As much as we can. I think Steve is. I think Steve is in between lessons right now as we speak. Steve, are you there?
I am here.
Oh, thank God you made it in time.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
No problem. No problem. We're happy to do it. I know you're tight on time because you got a lot of things. First of all, I want to congratulate you on one of your young players that you've been working with so feverishly and working hard. Sung Kang makes his way into the Deutsche Bank and is number 88 right now. So to keep playing, he's going to have another good tournament at the Deutsche Bank. But you got to be pretty happy with your young little pupil there, don't you?
Absolutely. You know, his goal coming into the season, Tim, was that he would be in the top 100. That was his goal. So he achieved his primary goal of the season. And now, you know, based on his performance of the last round at Bethpage, I mean, he set a course record at Bethpage Black, shot 64, was it? Is it a par 71?
71.
So he does have a course record there. No telling what he can do. He's a talented player. He gets a little bit down on himself. And you know what? We really, as Americans, we really don't have a taste for what the foreigners go through when they come here and play. He's from South Korea. You know, he's a South Korean citizen, and so he's a visitor here in the United States. And we take it for granted. We feel comfortable when we go traveling around the country, but for him, it's a lot different. It's one of the reasons I think the foreigners have a much tighter bond. When the players are playing over here on the PGA Tour, they tend to stick together. I mean, we've got like a little Korean basketball team that he travels with. I mean, it's 5-6 guys all the time that they eat together, they practice together. You know, they just are real tightly bound because, you know, it's different over here for them, and it's not comfortable. So once Sung gets comfortable, like comfort level like KJ Choi has, it's taken him a long time. To get comfortable. KJ Choi is 49 years old, and he's traveling, you know, by himself and all that with his entourage. But as soon as he gets comfortable like that, I think he's going to be, you know, he's going to be one of the top.
So you're saying, I didn't even realize that. Sung Kang has the Bethpage Black course record, 64?
Yes. Shot it the last day.
I had no idea. That's a tough course to have a course record on.
Right, he tied with Johnson Wagner, who shot 7-under as well on that last round.
Good so for him.
They both shot 7-under, yeah.
Good for him. So heading to the next round of the FedEx Cup playoffs and to the Deutsche Bank, a lot on the line, not only trying to win this tournament, but also move up, everybody trying to get in the top 70, at least, to go to the BMW Championship. But also Ryder Cup, and you and I talk about Ryder Cup an awful lot. Guys trying to earn their way onto a Ryder Cup team, for the Americans at least. The Europeans have been selected. That added pressure has got to be tough for some of those top guys. It may not be there for Sung Kang, certainly, and some of these other guys. But for some of those guys that are the Ricky Fowlers and Bubba, maybe even Cooch, that's a lot of pressure. A lot of things going on kind of at one time for these guys, isn't it?
Yes, and, you know, I've been kind of...
Did we lose Steve?
I think we did.
I think we lost Steve. In the midst of a very good
thought. Verizon or AT&T?
He had a really good thought there, and I'm sure he'll call back and get to it. But,
I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
Are you kidding me?
I mean, that's
I knew Johnson Wagner shot a big low score. I mean, how's a big low score? A very low score.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
64.
Wow.
And that's a tough course. That's a pretty prestigious course to have the course record at, Beth Page.
You think?
And it's not surprising that it's as high as a 64. Most course records are like 60, 61 that the pros play. You know, I mean, somebody at some point is. So Beth Page, notorious for how difficult it is. Yeah, you got to be pretty good and proud of yourself if you're Sung Kang and you can shoot a course record at Beth Page Black. Steve, are you back with us? We lost him? No, haven't gotten back to him. Well, okay.
Bueller?
Yeah. What happened to him?
Hey, wow, by the way, we're to hear that too.
And he is, Steve, you know, if we talk to him again, if his phone gets back to working, he's not a big fan of the way the Ryder Cup has been put together in the past few years. And I'm sure he was going to get into that. He criticized Davis Love for what happened a few years ago when he was the captain, and same thing with Tom Watson. He's a very analytical guy, Steve is, and sounds like he might be back with us. Steve, you there?
Yes. I don't know where we got cut off there.
We're just talking about the pressure these guys feel of Ryder Cup and everything else coming down on them all here at Deutsche Bank.
Yes, and you know what? I think there's more Ryder Cup pressure than there is FedEx Cup pressure because I've been a very vocal critic of Davis Love III as captain. His flow of information is very confusing to the players. He talked yesterday in his town hall meeting with the Taylor Zarzer. He talked about Matt Kuchar playing ping pong and getting the players comfortable and having fun. Well, Matt Kuchar's not even on the team yet. You know, he's not a top eight qualifier. He would have to be picked. So when Davis Love talks about Matt Kuchar, he talks about Jim Furyk, he talks about Ricky Fowler, it confuses the other players. The flow of information, there's way too much flow of information from the captain to the public right now, and that would just go to confuse the players and discourage the players, to be honest. You know, a guy like a Scott Piercy, who is a player that can get really hot, if he gets hot, you know, he's thinking, gosh, if I get hot, I'm not even going to get picked because he's already made his picks. You know, he's talking about Matt Kuchar, he's talking about Jim Furyk, he's talking about Ricky Fowler, he's talking about Bubba Watson, the number four player in the world. I don't even have a chance to get on that team. So the inexperience of creating a team and leading a team is showing a bunch in the terms of what Davis Love is the information he's giving us.
What did you feel about the selections for Darren Clark and the team in general that the Europeans have? Obviously, strong players, all of them. They wouldn't be there if they weren't, but not insurmountable. But what do you think about the European team?
Well, Russell Knox has to feel like Paul Casey and Hunter Mahan, players that got bypassed that were clearly had better records. Russell Knox has won twice on the PGA Tour on the biggest stage in the world. And he gets bypassed for a player that's 20 spots farther down the world ranking list than himself in Thomas Peters. So it would be discouraging. You know what? Europe tends to elevate their game, and statistically, U.S. should just kill them this time. I mean, Hank keeps saying that it's not about Davis Love is going to be irrelevant. He's not. It doesn't make any difference what he does. Our team is so much better that it's not even going to be close. So we'll
how many times have we heard, that though? I mean, have we said that the last decade? Almost every Ryder Cup, it looks like we're better.
We said that on Saturday night 2 years ago, or
sure.
4 years ago.
It was
we
over.
We said that on Saturday night. All we needed was 5 points to win.
Yeah.
And we didn't. We didn't get them.
We got like, what, 4.5 or something.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's always an uphill battle. We'll see. I love it. I love the anticipation of it and everything. Steve, before we let you go, appreciate your time. I know you got a busy schedule coming up. Patrick Reed looked good. Certainly in winning last week, and he's kind of a love-hate guy. What do you think about Patrick Reed? I'm just curious your feelings on him, not only a Ryder Cup player, but just as a player in general.
I love Patrick Reed. Patrick Reed's been struggling a little bit to his standards. He works very hard at his game. He's had some putting problems. It looks like he's he's got a good game plan now. Josh Gregory, a good friend of ours, is one of his coaches.
Sure.
And you know what? There's not a guy that he will do great in the Ryder Cup. No doubt about it. I mean, remember, 2 years ago, he was shushing the European fans, and they grew to love that in him. You know, I mean, that takes a lot of courage to do that on foreign soil. So the U.S. team is hoping to get some support. They said, "We are 13 is the tagline now that hoping to get our fans involved in it. But you know what? Patrick Reed won't need our fans. He's got enough motivation well within himself. He's got a lot of self-confidence. And now he's got some confidence in that he's got a victory coming into the Ryder Cup and coming into the last three tournaments in the FedEx.
Yeah, it should be interesting. And, of course, we all remember both Ryder Cup and Presidents Cup teaming up with Jordan Spieth and a really, really good pairing. I assume that they'll stay together because they did play so well and seemed to play off each other so well. So it'll be interesting. We'll see. It's all coming up in the next few weeks. Steve, we do appreciate your time. Thanks so much. Get back out there and help another guy make sure he hits that nice little draw shot, okay?
Thanks a lot, Tim. Nice talking to you.
All right. You too. Steve Johnson, managing partner with Hank Haney Golf. That's the Haney system. Take it back, bring it on the inside, and get that little draw going. You'll be on tour, too, in the next couple of weeks, as long as you go take some lessons from Steve Johnson. All right, we do appreciate it. Hey, by the way, Frank, you know, we were talking about, or Steve was talking about Patrick Reed. And he is a guy that's filled with confidence, which makes some people not like him. He's brash. We remember, was it a couple years ago when a lot of people weren't sure who he was, saying he thinks of himself as a top three player in the world. And everybody's like, oh, my God, you know, you're not even top 30.
He said it.
And you think you're that good. But it is that self-confidence that certainly drives him and makes him the player that he is. And I think when it comes to Ryder Cup, boy, there's nothing that our country doesn't like better than some guy that pumps his fist and looks like he's got a killer instinct, because so often when it comes to Ryder Cup, we just look lackadaisical. We look like, oh, and even when Tiger would play, and there just sometimes was not a feeling of, I don't say anger, but you know, that real intense, and boy, I tell you, Patrick Reed brings that, and he makes a birdie putt, the crowd goes crazy. And I think at Hazeltine, if he's got his game going, I think the fans are going to love Patrick Reed.
I think it's going to be great. Patrick Reed is, he can be a polarizing guy, but you know what? You're right. When he came out and made that statement that I'm one of the best players in the world, one of the top three players in the world or whatever, I was like, what did you just say? But he was channeling his inner Donald Trump.
He, and for the most part, you know, he's had some golfers have rough spots. He has backed it up. He is certainly a Ryder Cup level player. So it's not like he's fallen to, you know, number 120 in the world kind of thing. That's, I think, what he needs to motivate himself. Steve mentioned Josh Gregory. Josh used to be the golf coach at SMU, but before that, he was the golf coach at Augusta State. And Patrick Reed, he recruited out of Houston at Augusta State, and they won together as coach and player to NCAA Division I. I mean, the big boys, he beat the Oklahoma States and the Texas and the Alabamas and everybody at Augusta State back-to-back, and I believe it was 09 and 10 that they won the NCAA. So Josh Gregory coaching him again, and Patrick Reed right there. So I'm just saying, back even in the day, Patrick Reed was an underdog at an underdog school and showed a lot of people what he was really made of. So I know we're talking a lot about Patrick Reed, but I'm kind of looking forward to it. He put himself back on top. He's the number one guy right now in the FedEx Cup point standings. So he's certainly another guy to be reckoned with. He's faded off a little bit in the last 6-8 months, but he's back on the stage.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, you know, let's change gears for just a minute, because there's a topic we've not discussed that's out there. That's Nike. Nike pulling out of the golf ball and club manufacturing. They're going to stick with the apparel and shoes, you know, their core competency,
right.
shoes. So it was funny that Notre Dame made a statement that he was visiting Tiger down in South Florida, and his dining room looked like a PGA Tour superstore. All these manufacturers are shipping equipment to Tiger. They're shipping it to Rory McIlroy, to his parents. McIlroy made the statement that he has 5 years or whatever it was, several years worth of Nike balls
that
stocked
he likes.
Up.
Yeah, right.
That he likes. He doesn't want to change. Wow. What's going to shake out from that? I mean,
of
course, to get out of some big, the big money that they were paying Tiger and Rory. I mean, that's, they're going to buy them out.
Well, I think, as I understand it, and I might be wrong in this, they certainly still owe them the money. So let's just say Rory is owed $50 million for round numbers. He's owed $50 million from Nike. I think what they say might happen is if Rory decides to go with TaylorMade, okay, then TaylorMade is going to say, well, you already got $50 million coming from Nike. They're going to say, well, we'll pay you X amount that will... be on top of that, but it's going to, knowing that they're already getting free money, let's just put it, they're getting money from Nike for not doing anything with Nike. There's going to be some kind of an arrangement that Nike will make with TaylorMade in that situation, if that scenario were to happen, that they would, he wouldn't get money, all the money on top of that. They would kind of work out a deal where Nike would then pay $20 million and TaylorMade would pay the $30 million to get back to the 50 or something like that, is the way that they're talking about doing it, because Rory's still going to get, and all the other Nike guys will get all their money. It just might, part of it might come from Nike, part of it might come from Callaway or somebody else too. So it'll be interesting to see, because a lot of these guys, you know, especially the top guys, Rory and Tiger, even still Tiger, despite the fact he hasn't played in a year, you know, they get customized, very customized clubs from those guys for years now that have been working on exactly what Tiger likes about his grips and everything, right down to the nth degree.
Yeah.
It's got to be like, oh man, now I got to go. You know, I've been working with Nike for 10 years on exactly the way I like my wedges and all.
And
now I've got to go find somebody else.
Okay, but don't you think that the engineers that work for Nike, now they're going to be out of a job. So Tiger's guys that he's worked with, Tiger says, okay, XYZ company, hire these guys, bring this team over because they're my team.
Yeah,
that's got to happen. Now, if I were Wilson, I'd have Ricky Barnes at Tiger's house begging.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine? And Wilson makes a good product. They make a good product.
It could be a chance.
Majors won than any other golf club. You know that, don't you? Wilson, because it goes back to the past, 60s, 70s.
Yeah. But if you think about it, if a smaller company like a Wilson, a lesser prime company, could look at it and say, this is an opportunity for us to do what you said, which is bring in the technical support from Nike,
right?
And we'll be, you know, a little Nike South. We'll just move over here and kind of redevelop everything that Nike's been doing, but have all that branding and all the expertise that they had, and maybe build up Wilson from being, you know, a 2% of the market to 15% of the market, if they can keep that technology and get Rory or Tiger or some of the big name guys to go from Nike to them. It might be an opportunity. Ben Hogan, we've talked about Ben Hogan clubs coming back into the world. Make beautiful golf clubs, but they don't have anybody on tour plan. They're not really playing on that. It's a big money game that they have to play. But if they wanted to, could they bring in some Nike guys and put beautiful Ben Hogan clubs together with Nike technology in addition to their technology? I don't know. I mean, it's going to be an interesting world.
Parsons
sure.
is going to step up. Parsons is going to jump in there. You know that. They have all the money in the world. I mean, their founder, you know, did pretty good in his other endeavor.
Yeah.
So, Parsons will jump in there. And look how much Callaway has spent on their core players and TaylorMade. Do they have enough money to pull a Tiger Woods now?
Yeah.
Can they find that money? Probably. I don't know.
At some point, you do kind of wonder when you're talking that kind of money, you know, the Rory kind of money, or what it would cost for Spieth or some of these other guys. When you're talking $100 million-plus dollars, that's just such a commitment to a market that, even if Steve Johnson were still talking to us, would tell you, you know, it's a diminishing market. Not that it's going to go away, but it kind of stays stagnant for a while as far as the equipment they sell and how much money can be made in the golf business and how many golfers are playing. And then this year, there's 2 million less than there were 5 years ago, things like that. And then you got to pump $100 million or $150 million into a top player. and hope that that means you're going to sell a lot of clubs, it's tough. I mean, it's a tough, tough business for these guys to be in.
I will tell you that if Brendan Sweeney, our friend Brendan Sweeney from French Lick, can become a staff member for Wilson, then why can't Frank Bassett or Tim Matthews? Don't we need to contact Wilson and say, look, you know?
Give me a break.
I don't think Parsons will do that for us.
So you could be bought? Is that what you're saying, Frank? That shocks me.
In a heartbeat.
Shocking. Shocking.
By the way, check your mail. You may have a package showing up today or tomorrow.
Really?
Yes.
Ticking package?
No, it's not ticking. No, I love you, Tim. You know that. You are the core of this show.
Yeah.
But it's a Rolex Tournament of Champions hat from the American AJGA tournament.
You got me a Rolex?
Lake Oconee. Yeah, well, in New York, $25. It was on sale.
I got you three, Tim. I got you three.
Yeah,
kept it under $100.
When it starts staining your arm, just change it off and put the next one on.
Yeah, that tells you it's real. Yeah, when it turns green.
But no, I really, back to that equipment thing, that's a big story that hasn't really been talked about a lot on Golf Talk Radio.
Yeah, and because there's a lot of golfers. We talk about the top guys. Another Steve Johnson golfer is Scott Pinckney, who didn't make it to this stage in the FedEx Cup playoff. So he's going back to the web.com tournament and try to see if that'll get him back on a PJ tour, right? So he's at that level of a player, but making money. He's on the tour, played at most events, probably 25 events this year. Well, anyway, Scott is a Nike guy, and it's certainly a level way below the Rorys and Tigers. But what's he going to do? And there's a lot of guys like him on tour that we don't know and we don't follow all the time, but they're Nike guys as well. So Nike had a lot of guys. We just know the big two or three. What are all those guys going to do? They're going to, you know, try to find a new manufacturer. So it came out of the blue, and Tiger even admitted that he said, you know what? I knew about it about an hour before it came out to the public. So it wasn't like one of these well-kept secrets for the last few months that it was going away and everything. Nobody seemed to know that Nike was going to get out of the manufacturing of equipment business. So, for a lot of guys, not just the big guys, it's going to have a big impact, and they got to find a new home, find somewhere they can get some clubs they can play.
In business, and I come from that corporate world, it's core competency. What's your core competency? Once you get outside of that and you start diluting the profits of your staple.
Yeah.
Then the board of directors looks at you and goes, hey, you know what? Why are we bleeding red ink over here? And they shut it down. They just shut it down.
And I'll be honest, Frank.
How do you compete with Titleist and Callaway and TaylorMade and Wilson and Parsons and on and on and on? I mean, I hope I'm not leaving somebody out. I should be saying.
It was funny, though, Frank, because I don't know, and I think we talked about this the day that it was announced. I've never played when I play with my buddies or just go on a golf course. I don't see many Nike clubs out there. Did you? So I don't know. No. It wasn't trickling down. They were paying it to the big dogs, hoping that you'd go, oh, Rory plays these. I got to play these clubs. I never saw the trickle down, and I'm sure that's what came out of it. They're like, we're spending millions and millions and millions on manufacturing and all the things we have to do in China, everything they had to do to make these clubs, not only in the technology to get new, better, but we don't see the average guy out there selling out. They're sitting on shelves for a long time. I'm sure you could buy a set of Nike clubs right now for about $50 that are probably, a few weeks ago were $800.
Yeah.
But I never saw the trickle down part of it. I really never saw hardly anybody play Nike clubs.
I have to tell you, I was at French Lick for the Legends Championship a week before last, and did not have my clubs with me, didn't take them on purpose, because we're getting a divorce, and I won't mention the brand name, but but I'm getting a divorce from my clubs. And I said, well, you know, they have TaylorMade up there. I'll play some of those. I played some of the TaylorMade irons, a mixed bag, and really enjoyed playing those clubs. But Sweeney has Wilson, and I played those, and I tell you what, Wilson, if you're listening, we need to talk, because they have a good product. They really do. And, I learned to play golf with my father's Wilson staffs. Remember with the rubber in the hosel?
Oh, yeah.
Bill Wilson staffs. They were tough to hit, but I learned to play golf, started with those clubs. And always played with Wilson Woods.
And when Frank learned to play golf, dinosaurs walked on the earth.
Oh, I knew you were going to go there. You had to play with President Lincoln once.
That hook shot around the T-Rex was always a tough shot.
He kept knocking his hat off on his backswing. So there you go.
There you go.
Anyway, well, it's going to be a fun week.
Get a call from Wilson.
Monday.
Get a call from Wilson.
Yeah. I think I'm going to contact Wilson, to be honest. I'm going to call them and say, look, okay, we need to sit down and talk. Because I'm changing clubs right now, and I'm open to go to something different that fits my game. I'm getting a little older, so I need to make some changes. I'm not swinging at 145 sure. to 150 miles per hour like your long drive boys do.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's time. So, anyway, I'll leave that alone. One thing, though, I do want to mention. On Monday's show, be sure to tune in to our listeners, which we post the show every day at 1 o'clock on pgatour.com/podcast. And then you can hear it on all the platforms. It's there for forever, basically. But you can go to TuneIn or iTunes and get it, and all the shows are there. And thegolftalkamericanetwork.com. Some of our shows are there, too. But we're going to have Marcus Brunell on Monday. Marcus is the owner of the Azalea House, which is where we broadcast live from the Masters last year and right. had a fabulous time. He signed us up to be there forever. He wants us to be there every year. We'll do a stage show. We'll have entertainment. We're going to fly in Laura Bryna to sing. It's going to be just a big talent and entertainment event, as well as golf, and you'll be there for this one. Bobby will be there this time. We're going to bring the whole team in. But Marcus will be on Monday. Marcus is a resident of Indianapolis, and our host this week, Azalea House, is sponsoring us to be at the BMW Championship in Indianapolis at Crooked Stick. So we'll be packing our bags and heading to Indy on Monday.
Nice.
So there you
Very
go.
Nice. Good time.
After the show,
yeah,
of course.
It'll be fun.
But, yeah, it'll be fun. Maybe I'll get your hat up there, too.
Huh? Speaking of Monday, last Monday, I wanted to thank everybody who helped out. We put on a tournament for the families of the Dallas police officers here in Dallas that tragically were killed about a month ago or more than that back in July. And so we raised close to $25,000 in a tournament we put together in about 5 weeks. And I just wanted to acknowledge all the people, El Dorado Country Club up in McKinney, a suburb of Dallas, that hosted for us, and all the people that played. We really do appreciate it, and we were very proud to help out those families in any small way that we could financially to sure. through those people and everybody that contributed and helped out. And we had a long driver who was there that was helping, and everybody that did something. We really it came off a lot better than I was anticipating because it was so quickly put together. But Stacey Runnels did the majority of all the work to pull this thing together. So that was last Monday, and I just wanted to acknowledge all those people for helping out, and hopefully we made life a little bit easier for those five families to get through the tragedy that I'm sure they'll never get over. But at least maybe we made their day a little bit better on that day. So just wanted to thank everybody for helping.
Yeah,
us
that was
with
that was a good thing. How do you put a golf tournament together in 5 weeks? Out in the world,
I don't know.
Tim Matthews,
yeah.
Superman,
yeah.
You put your cape on and did it, didn't
it's,
you?
It's really hard. You make a lot of phone calls, and you kind of, luckily through the media and a lot of the media people I know, they helped us get the word out. So that helped. And we set up a web page, had somebody donate their time to set up a web page for the tournament in a day and had it ready to go so people could call in. We got the word out to a lot of media so people could call in and not only just sign up to play, but give some money. If they didn't want to play, they could say, hey, here's $50 or whatever, and they could do that. So it is amazing what you can do in a short amount of time if you have to, because we all think you need a year to put a tournament together, and you probably really do for the most part. But we did the best we could under the circumstances, had over 100 golfers that came out and played and had a good day of golf. So, and oh, by the way, I finished third. The team of Art Selinger, our good friend on the long drive, who's owned the long drive forever, just sold to the Golf Channel. It's coming up in October. Art Selinger has been around forever. His team won. Shockingly, I don't know how that happened. His team won. And we came in third, our team. And I just played with three other guys that I had never met before that they put me together. And good guys and good golfers. And what we won was donated from the Jordan Spieth family. Jordan Spieth plaque with his picture on it holding the Masters trophy. That he autographed, and just it was a nice little memento. So it's in my office, and so it was kind of cool. We actually not only had a good day and raised good money, but played good golf, and I've got a little memento to show for it. So there you go.
So you're gonna auction that off and give that money to the charity also?
Win. I would if I could. I don't know how much I could get for it. I mean, I never know. So I probably won't, Frank.
But
in all honesty, no.
I will tell you that I don't have it. I'm going to get it. But it's a Masters flag from when Jordan won the Masters. And it says, to the Azalea House, Jordan Spieth, and he signed the flag. Now, that's nice. That's pretty cool. I'd like to have that. I don't think Marcus Brunell will let me have that flag. But I don't know. He's a pretty generous guy. He might let me keep it for a week on my mantle.
Maybe.
When I come to Dallas and I get together with our friend Damon Goddard and we'll go see Jordan, and then you'll take me to play golf with President Bush, right?
Okay, yes, gotcha. Yes, yeah. That'll be the whole week. Okay. Can't wait. It's going to be so much fun. Yeah, my buddy. And we'll get Donald Trump to come. Yeah, we'll all have a good time.
Okay, well, whatever. All right. That's fine with me. Donald Trump, by the way, we're looking for a club manufacturer to be with Golf Talk America. Now, resorts. Let's talk about resorts. No, I won't go there.
Yeah, Trump resorts.
Resorts are pretty nice, you know.
That's what I've heard.
With Doral. I hear they have an opening down there.
That sounds like they do. I think you're right. They do. All right, everybody. Before we digress too much further, appreciate everybody's time. Thanks for listening. We certainly appreciate Steve Johnson with Hank Haney Golf for calling in and giving us a little bit of his time. For Bobby Raymond and Frank Bassett, I am Tim Matthews. Thanks so much for being with us here on Golf Talk America. And please join us next time.